Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for another opportunity to get into His Word today. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Another opportunity to sit under the matchless, anointed Word of God. That Word is so powerful and so anointed and can accomplish so much in our lives as we submit ourselves to it, to the truth of it. Amen. So turn in your Bibles with me to our scripture for this series, The Conversion of Our Souls. Turn to Psalm 19. Let's read our scriptures again. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7. When you get there, just say, I have it. Amen. Psalm 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the whole person. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes. The reverent fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold. They are sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, reminded, illuminated, and instructed. And in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his lapses and errors? Clear me from unconscious faults, hidden in unconscious faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be blameless, and I shall be innocent and clear of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my firm, impenetrable rock and my redeemer. Amen. Now let's go over to Psalm 119. We'll pick it up at verse 13. Psalm 119 and verse 13. With my lips have I declared and recounted all the ordinances of your mouth. Now, this I hope that you're practicing in your day-to-day lives, because this is one of the key things that we have to do in order to see the promises of God fulfilled in our lives. One of the things we have to realize again is that God gives us the promise, but we have to agree with that promise. We have to recount it and declare it with our mouths to see it come to pass in our lives. Now, that's important because the language that we speak as Christians can undo what God desires to bring to pass in our lives. It's one thing to read the promises of God and to know what they say, and it's another thing still to begin to speak a language of doubt and unbelief, you know, and hopelessness. Because we are establishing things according to what we speak. We are establishing things in our lives. And we can establish the good and the right, or we can set about something that's totally contrary to God's will for our lives. And the way many believers do that is simply by looking at various things that are going on in their lives or all about them and calling those things out as if they are the reality of their lives. Calling them out, speaking about them, talking about them, discussing them, you know, and having interchange with other people about situations and circumstances, when the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. The Bible does not tell us to talk about the problems and have conversational interchange about all of the difficulties and just talk about it. What the Bible tells you to do is to call those things that be not as though they were. See, it's easy for you to see the difficult things. Amen. They touch your life. The things you want to see is what you ought to be talking about. What do you want to see in your life? Talk about that. Right? Acknowledge it, because that's the will of God. And he has to have our agreement in order for that to come about. Sometimes it would be a good idea for you to just sit down and do some categorizations about certain areas in your life, you know, your finances, your health, your family, ministry, you know, just, you know, you put them in priority, of course, that they need to go. And then begin to just pin what you would like for it to be like, what you would want your life to be like in those areas. Let's just take one, for instance. Let's just take your health, to just begin to write what you would really like to enjoy in the way of health. Right? Never be sick again. You know, cease catching various viruses or colds, flu, whatever. You know, maybe there's a history of arthritis or something like that in your family. And, you know, everybody in the family is saying, well, you know, when you get older, you'll have to deal with it too, because, you know, Uncle John and Aunt Susie and everybody else in our family has dealt with it up until you, and your time is coming. Well, you know, you don't have to accept that. Amen? Amen. And so what do you need to do? Well, you have to counter, you know, attack that stuff. You just can't sit around and wait and see if it's going to happen. What you begin to do is set in motion what you want to take place. And so you begin to speak, you know, what you want to happen. Now, it's not hard to do, because in your heart you know what you want. You don't want to be sick. You don't want to be laying out money all the time on medicines. You don't want to be having to go to a doctor constantly, right? You don't want to be crippled. And you don't want to have, you know, your bones and your all disfigured and not able to use your hands and all of this kind of stuff. You don't want that, so why would you speak it? If you don't want it, now this isn't the case of someone who, you know, in your family there's a real difficult case of this, like hereditary going on in your family. You know it's there. Cancers, you know, that people talk about, it's heart problems, all these things. You can find strings of this going on in various families, you know, and I know a family where one, two, three brothers and sisters died, and there's one left, and they're still standing. And they're telling me, I've had them tell me, you know, all my brothers and sisters died in their 50s, and now I'm in my latter 50s. Well, you know, the track record is you're next, right? But now it doesn't have to be. There's no law in the Bible that says that you have to die of everything that everybody else dies of if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be afflicted with everything that the world is afflicted with. As a matter of fact, the Lord spoke through Moses to the Israelites and says, if you will keep the commandments of God, he said, I will take all of the illnesses and the sicknesses that were placed on the Egyptians away from you, and you will not be afflicted by any. You won't cast forth your young before it's time for them to be born, and all of these things. And then when Jesus came along and began to highlight how we could, he simplified things for us, and he showed us how that we could keep all the commandments of God. And he said, I give you one commandment, and that is that you love one another, you know. He said, this is the greatest of the commandments. So if we'll walk in love and have an attitude of love and forgiveness, then he'll do the same thing. He'll take all of the diseases and the illnesses and the infirmities away from us. And we'll have a blessed life. Now you can stand on that, because that's what he said. Isn't that right? You can stand on that. So if that's true, then why not say what agrees with that. Say what agrees with what God said. He said, I'll take all sicknesses, disease, illnesses from you. So I'm not going to say, well, Uncle Joe and Aunt Bonnie and all of my family has had arthritis and my time is coming, when the Lord told me if I'd walk in love, he'd take it away from me. I can't say whether Aunt Joe or Aunt Bonnie walked in love or not. You know, they were nice around me, but I don't know what was in their heart. So I can't live my life based on them and just having a vague idea of how they lived. What I've got to be concerned about is how I'm living. And that's where the conversion of the heart comes into this whole message. If my heart, my soul has been converted as God desires for it to be and is working compliantly with what he has said, then there's no reason why I can't enjoy all the blessing that God has said I could enjoy. Isn't that right? There's no reason for it because he's not holding anything against me. I'm walking in accordance to what he said. He's not holding anything against me. So I have every right to list the things that I want. Good health. No more sickness. Now see, there are many believers that have a hard time believing that they can actually have that. That you'll never be broke again. Now, there's not a person in here that wouldn't like to write that down on their list of things that they want. Never be broke again. Never. And there's no reason why you can't enjoy that when the Bible says if we'll bring our tithes and offerings into the house of the Lord. He said, didn't he not? Didn't he say what he would do for us? Open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing we'll not be able to contain. If we would walk according to his purpose and his will in that. He said, I will do that. I will do that. Isn't that awesome? See? Now, so you can write that down. I'll never be broke again. I'll never be broke again because I'm going to agree with God's word. And every other thing that you'd like to have in your life happening. Because everything that you really would want to happen in your life, everything that you would like to enjoy in your life, I guarantee you there is a scripture promise for it. Because you can't imagine anything that God hasn't already promised that he would give you. He's greater than us. Right? So he's already given us scriptural promises to cover everything that could possibly come into our lives as a legitimate, honest, upright desire. He's already given us a promise. And all we have to do is to honor the laws of the kingdom of God. Honor them. Recognize them. And give our lives up to those laws. And live in accordance to those laws. And there's nothing that could stop the blessing from coming. Listen, you've already received the greatest miracle of all, and that's your salvation. And the devil couldn't stop that as hard as you worked with him to keep it from coming to pass. Now, the two of you were agreeing against God, and God said, nope, I ain't going to have it. I'm not going to have it. I chose you before the foundation of the world was laid. You're mine. I'm sorry. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. And so, you know, your agreement was, it was just flawed. Amen. Because that was against God's will. It was flawed. And God did what he wanted to do. He blessed you with the greatest miracle of salvation, greatest gift that you could possibly receive, your salvation. All these other things are just trimmings. You know, they're really not that big a deal. They're really not that big a deal. Because you could have got all of the other stuff and still not be saved, and you go into a devil's hell. Right? You go to a devil's hell, and all that you enjoyed in this life was for no purpose. So he did the best and the greatest thing first. And then we have, look at how believers respond. Try so hard to believe that they can get out of debt. Try so hard to believe that they can have faith to be healed. I'm trying to believe, Pastor. You got the greatest miracle of all. All this other stuff is a piece of cake. Come on. It's not that big a deal. All we have to do is agree with him. Do you love him? Do you trust him? Well, then you can believe him. Amen. You can believe a person you love and trust. He's not a man that he can lie. There's no variableness in him, no shadow of turning in him. He's always the same, and he will ever be the same. Today, yesterday, and forever, he will always be the same. Amen. So we can trust him. Amen. So recount, you know, declare the word of God over your life. Recount what God has said about you in the word of God and all the ordinances. Let them be in your mouth. 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 And don't allow anything else to get in your mouth. Just don't allow all of the negative stuff to get in your mouth whatsoever. Don't say it. And you know, one of the best ways for you to train yourself to do that is to chasten yourself. We're accustomed to getting chastened when we come to church. We hear the word of God come to us and we realize that our mouth has been spewing out filthy, unbelieving garbage, and we feel bad about it. We get convicted, and so we go away saying, boy, we had church today. He really stepped on my toes today. Well, step on your own toes. I have however many you have, 1, 2, 3, how many toes you got? Step on yours. You do it. Amen. Don't wait for somebody else to give you a word that's going to straighten you out. Straighten out your own life. You have the ability to do that. I've often said it. You should be your best prophet. You should be your best preacher. You should be the best minister to you that anyone could possibly be. No one else should be a better minister to you than you are. Nobody. See, because when we recognize how powerful the word of God is and what God intends to do through the word of God, that ought to make us hungry enough that we're getting into the word of God and we're finding those treasures and those nuggets and those diamonds for ourselves, because after all, the Holy Spirit's job is to bring you and I to all truth. And he does that because Jesus is concerned about your well-being. That's why he's ever interceding for us, because he's concerned about our well-being. And if he's concerned about our well-being, then you know he must be telling the Holy Spirit where to lead you in the scripture, and even by experience, and even through the ministry that you sit under, the truth that you need to know so that you can have a successful life, a blessed life, a healthy life. See? You have to pay attention. See, the wealth that you need to enjoy, the health that you need to enjoy, the blessedness that you need to enjoy in whatever relationship God has given you, it's going to all be found in the word of God. It's not going to be found out here in the world somewhere. You're going to get that as you find it in the word of God. Your blessings, everything that you need is in the Bible. And that's why Jesus reprimanded those folk when he said, you know, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He wasn't saying that they didn't have eternal life in the scriptures. He was just showing them the reason why they kept going to the scriptures, studying the scriptures, going through the scrolls, is because they really believed that they had eternal life in the scripture. And you do, and they did. But he said, the one thing you are omitting to see is that the scripture is revealing me as the Christ. It's revealing me as your Savior. It's revealing me as your Messiah. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but you omit realizing that what you are finding is pointing to me. Because they were rejecting him. And see, when you say, I can't do what the word's telling me to do right now, I've got to fix this my way, what you're really doing is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, on the other side of your mouth, you say, but I love the Lord. You know, how would you feel if you go home and Your wife is just telling you, oh, I just love you so much. And she don't cook for you. But, oh, I love you so much, she never cleans the house. I mean, the place is filthy. It looks like a garbage dump. Right? Oh, I love you so much. And even the chickens and the pigs in the bedroom where you're supposed to be sleeping. Oh, but I love you so much. There's something wrong with this picture. What kind of love do you love me with? What kind of love is this? I've never experienced this kind of love before. As a matter of fact, I don't think I like it. Right? All right, but that's the way we do the Lord. We want to tell him we love him. We want to lift our hands and praise him. And then we won't do what he tells us to do. Well, that's evidence that we really don't love him. That we really don't love him, see? And there again, it points to the lack of conversion going on in the soul, doesn't it? And it turns to that. So how do I fix it? Well, just do what's right. And don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the next service. You do it now. You do it right away. Why do preachers have to be convincing? Why do we have to lay our case out so plain, get to the point, and give you proof text that it works? Why do we have to do that within 45 minutes to an hour? Because we won't see you for 6 days. If we can't get it across to you now, God help you. I don't know what you're going to do after you leave here, because I ain't going to see you for 6 days. See what I'm saying? So don't be thinking that we're just trying to be slick and trying to convince you to do something so we can be benefited. Our job is, you know, is something that's interjected into the stream of your life that you're living. What we have to do is it's an injection into the stream that you're already flowing in. And we're flowing in our own stream. I gotta live my own life. I can't stop living my life and run around after you every day to make sure you're doing it right. It's not my job, is it? It's the Holy Spirit's job, because he'll never leave you. He's staying with you all the time. Amen? He's speaking in first person for the Lord Jesus Christ into your life about everything that he wants you to be involved in and to do. And it's just as though Jesus was standing before you himself saying it. It's just as though he was saying it. And if we'll receive what the Holy Spirit is leading us in, then we're receiving words from Jesus' very mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's important that our souls, you know, have a full conversion experience, because we need to keep moving. Amen? Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. We talked about that as well. That the testimonies of the Lord will lead you into what's called the way. That's what, you know, they called it during the day of Paul. As he preached the gospel, he said they're preachers of the way. Well, you know, God leads you to a brand new way of living. And that's what we ought to be pursuing, the way of the Lord. He said in verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and have respect to your ways, the paths of life marked out by your law. I will meditate on your precepts. I will meditate on your precepts and have respect to your ways. So we are to accept the ways that are laid out before us. As we meditate on the way, on the Word of God, we ought to have respect to the ways that he lays out for us. See, tithing is a way, isn't it? It's a way of the Lord, right? Giving is a way of the Lord. Right? Offerings. That's a way of the Lord. That isn't something that you would just do in the natural. Natural men don't do that just because they see it, you know. This is the church's way. This is the way of the believer. This is the way of the kingdom of God. It's a law of the kingdom. The law of reciprocity. You know, if I give, I'm going to receive. Right? And that law works. It works. All right. And it works in awesome ways. You cannot explain all of the ways that this law works in your life. Right. And it opens up avenues for God to cause you to receive good things from him when you practice doing what he tells you to do in the law of reciprocity and giving and receiving. Oh, it's awesome. Blessings come to you in many ways. Many ways. Numerous ways they come. But you have to meditate in the Word of God, and then you have to have respect unto it, do what it tells you to do, right? And then you get to enjoy, you know, what the paths of that way will bring to you, the paths of life marked out by that way. And then in verse 16, he says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will delight myself. Now, there are many believers that don't delight in the word of God. Everybody knows that. Otherwise, all of the church would love all preachers. But all speakers of the word and the will of God are not loved by the church. Right? They're not, you know, a good case of that without just pointing fingers at denominations and different groups. Today, just go back to the old covenant and look at the king, you know, I guess it was Saul and Jehoshaphat and all of the prophets says, go out. God has given you the victory. Take take authority and you're going to win. And I think it was King Jehoshaphat that said, is there not another prophet that we can inquire of? You know, and see if the Lord has a, because all these guys are agreeing. You know, he was discerning. You know, why are all these guys saying exactly the same thing? You know? And so the king said, well, there is another one, Micaiah. And he said, but he never says anything good to me. And that's what a lot of people feel about a lot of preachers, you know. Well, he don't ever minister anything really good, you know. Because why? Because I'm not hearing what I want to hear. I'm not hearing what I want to hear. Does serving the Lord means that you're going to always hear what you want to hear? Does it mean that? Does serving the Lord mean that you're going to always get to do just what you want to do? Go where you want to go. Give the amount that you really want to give. Huh? No, it doesn't. See? We are sons and daughters of God, but we are servants of God as well. And servants shouldn't really sit around and talk about, you know, if you're going to be a true servant, you don't sit around and complain and grumble about what you've got to do. You know your responsibility. You go to work. Right? And you work and you be diligent at it, and you do all things good that you can possibly do with all your might, whatever God gives your hand to do. And if you do it right and you do it in the spirit that you should do it, then you can get to the place where servants are under you. That's the way the law of reciprocity works, right? That's the way it works. If we'll follow the way of the Lord. And you see, we don't always delight in the preacher, what he has to say and all those things. Now, but as new covenant believers, grafted into this wonderful work of God, we have interpretation in the scripture unlike a lot of those individuals did under the old covenant, don't we? Because the Holy Spirit is present in the world today and he is pouring out revelation. So that means that you and I, you know, we should be cognizant of the fact that even if I don't delight in it, I can change that. Oh, yeah. You know, as an unbeliever, I used to, you know, think that things never would change. I'd always be the same. But you see, I come to realize that according to the scripture, all things are possible unto me if I believe in God. All things are possible. Then that means I can see something that God really does want me to do, that I really don't want to do, and I can change my attitude to the place where I will delight in it. I can delight in doing something I really don't want to do. And why should I want to delight in doing something I really don't want to do? Because I love the God that told me to do it. I love him. And because I love him, I really want to delight in his ways, even though it's straight and it's narrow and it's compacted with pressure and it's difficult for me to get through in there. But I delight in God and I'm going to get through. I'm going in. I am going in now. I'm pressing my way into. I'm laying aside every weight and everything that can distract me. I'm laying it aside. And I'm holding fast to what God has said. Even if it changes me. Well, I need to change anyway. So. Yeah, even if it changes me. I'm going to do this. Stop holding on to who you think you are. That's not you. You are not who you think you are. You are who God says you are. See? And you need to be listening to what God says about you instead of what you think about you. Well, don't shout me down when I started getting into good stuff. Wow. What matters is what God says. That's what matters. See, we're so controlled by our unconverted heart and soul, see, and we're so concerned about what the world thinks, right? We're so concerned about it. Yes, you are. You know you're concerned. You're concerned about what people think about you, when you really ought to be concerned about what God thinks about you. You get upset when you hear about somebody saying something about you, yet you haven't heard from God in months. Well, let me back up a little bit. You want me to apologize? That did hurt. I'm sorry. It's true. Tell me what God said to you in the last few days. And there are a lot of believers that can't say that. They can't say, well, Pastor, I don't know that God spoke to them. But they can tell you what, you know, Danny said about him. How upset they got. Huh? They can tell you how Cynthia looked at him kind of funny. And they didn't like the way she looked. Who she thinks she is anyway, looking at me like that. See how we got all of that stuff stored up on the inside. We got nothing stored up in there from God. See? See? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. Right? So you got to put something in the heart if you want something good to come out. If you don't put anything in the heart, guess what? Your heart is going to be like a garbage dump. And everything that's dumped in there, it'll receive it. And then what comes out of your mouth is going to sound like garbage. It's going to sound just like garbage compared to what the scripture sounds like. Because it's going to be full of unbelief. It's going to be full of doubt. It's going to be full of unforgiveness, vengeance, and all that kind of sarcasm and stuff like that. See, all that's going to come out of your mouth because you don't purposely lay the word of God up in your heart. You lay the word of God up in your heart early in the scripture. The writer said, I've laid the word of God up in my heart that I might not sin against you. Sinning against God is more than me running out there, you know, and grabbing your pocketbook. Just like, I need some money. I ain't preaching no more. Give me your pocketbook. And I just grab your pocketbook and run and get in my car and leave you up here in the church. That sounds wild, don't it? That sounds wild. I hope that's not happening to any preachers anywhere. But, you know, that's absolutely absurd, isn't it? See? And that's what we want to think about when we think about sin. But now think about it again. I've laid your word up in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm putting the word of God in my heart by way of my memory, through meditation, through singing the word in song. All of those things I'm doing by reading the word of God, you know. I'm doing that and laying the word of God up in my heart so that I don't begin to carry myself in a way other than the way of the Lord. Because if I walk in a way other than the way of the Lord, that's sinning against God. And it doesn't have to be whether I'm stealing from somebody or committing some other gross sin that everybody frowns on. It is sinful just not to be walking in the pleasure and the favor that God has provided for you. God is not satisfied with you living in any other way. That's sinful. And we don't recognize that as being sinful. We just recognize it as, well, I'm getting by. I'll be all right. You know, this too will pass. I'm going to make sure it passes. Amen? Get up, get out. Move in the name of Jesus. I ain't waiting for it to pass. I'm going to make it pass. Doing what God tells me to do, it has to move. It cannot stay in my presence. He told Joshua, no man will be able to stand in your presence. Right? That's what he told him. He said, you meditate in my word day and night, and you will make your way successful. Not a man will be able to stand before you in defiance. You'll knock them all down, brother. You'll move every obstacle out of your way. Woo, glory to God. Now, that's the only way we can live. Now, you got to understand, I talked to a little lady the other day, bless my heart. She was either Presbyterian or Baptist. And I don't have anything against them. However, they're not spirit-filled. But I'm going to tell you right now, we had a good conversation. She said that they've been studying some material about four women in the Bible. Bathsheba, Mary, I think Ruth, and some other woman. I can't remember what the fourth one was. And they've been studying about how that each of these women stood for God in their dilemmas, their hardships, their trials. And they studied also how that God blessed them and provided for them in the midst of the trouble that their countrymen or their neighborhood or their nation was in. See? And you see, we got so many believers today that because they're not laying the word of God up in their hearts like they should, not meditating in it, they're lumping themselves over into the same old sad situation that the rest of the world is in. See? So if the newsman says, you know, something about the economy, that Christian is saying, oh, woe is me, along with the rest of the nation. Huh? If they say on television that there is an epidemic, what was it? Something one flu? H1N1 or something like that. If there's an epidemic of the flu, and you better get out and get your vaccination and all that. And the believer says, along with the rest of them, oh, woe is me. We better hurry up and get down to Walgreens and get in line quick before everybody gets down there and get it, so we can make sure we get a shot. They have the same mind. I have never taken a flu shot. Whether it was S1N1, H1N1, I think it's S1N1. Whatever the one in the end was all about, I have never taken a shot. Never taken a flu shot in all of my life. I've only had one vaccination, and that was as a child. And then the Army gave me a shot because I couldn't tell them not to. It's either take it or they'll kick your butt. And then I was getting ready to go overseas to Africa, and I had to take some shots because of going into countries where they don't have the same hygiene and you know, the stuff that we have over here, so you could get viruses and you could get bit by mosquitoes that are carrying malaria and all that kind of stuff. So they gave me about 5 shots in my blessed assurance. I wasn't singing either at the end of that song. I'll tell you what, I couldn't hardly sit down. My wife, weren't you with me, sweetheart? You weren't with me when I went over there to get those? Yes, sirree, Bobby. I tell you. But no, I don't, you know, I don't fall for all of the warnings that the world gives, because I got a promise from God that supersedes what they're warning me about. I've laid that up in my heart, and I don't have the flu. I'm not sick. And I've gone through the same seasons and been in the same crowds, and in most cases, you know me, I've been in front of more people than you have. They're sneezing and coughing and all kinds of stuff. And I'm healthy and I'm well and I don't have a thing that they got. Hallelujah. Because the promise of God supersedes all of that warning and all of the woe is me and the sky is falling stuff. Amen. Now, what you gonna lay up in your heart? If you don't lay the word of God up in your heart, you just might as well group yourself with the rest of the world that's under a curse. Right. But I'm not under a curse. You're not under a curse. You're under the blessing of Almighty God. You're under the blessing. You're under the blessing. You're under the blessing. And that's greater than anything that the devil's got in all of his arsenal of weaponry that he can use against the church. It's greater. So there's no need for us to be afraid. See, being afraid is sinful. That's sinful. That's like you in a tank riding down the road and you scared to death because there come some Boy Scouts with slingshots. You're just trembling on the inside. Oh, my God. What am I going to do? And they got slingshots. That's how stupid it is. But we allow ourselves to get just that stupid because we won't accept what the Word of God says. We are supposed to be bright and shining examples during any calamity, you know, deficit in our economy and in the gross national product of our nation, the GNP, whatever is going on, it's not supposed to be affecting me as a believer because my blessing is coming out of the kingdom. My provision has already been met by God. So I'm not walking around acting like, thinking like, smelling like, looking like the world. I'm under a glory cloud. Hallelujah. And I'm blessed. I'm not worried. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I might not be doing you any good, but I'm preaching myself happy. I will delight. Now, see, that's delight. That's delight. If you're not doing this, if your life is not producing the same kind of message that I'm preaching to you right now, if your conversations in your home is not going in this direction with your children, with your spouse, if you're not leading your family in this way, then you're not delighting in the Word of God. You just can't come to church and say, I agree with it, and then go home and worry and twiddle your thumbs and start talking about how we going to do this. Oh, Lord, we're going to lose this if we don't get enough money to do this. Lord, if you don't do something, we don't know. We're going to lose this. Lord, if the Lord don't come through. Oh, Lord. He don't even hear that. Lord. He don't hear that. You're just making a racket within your four walls. Ain't going no higher than the ceiling. He ain't heard a word you said. He don't get involved in that kind of stuff. He won't have that in his worship services. That ain't no joyful noise. That's a racket. He won't have it. And he don't listen to that. And you can worry yourself right into sickness and bankruptcy. You really can. You can just worry yourself right into it. Worry yourself right into losing everything that you got. Or you can delight in the Word of God, put it in your heart, speak it out of your mouth when you don't have a dime in your pocket and see money coming in supernaturally, miraculously. I've seen God do things for us. I can't even tell you how he did it. All I know is it happened. It just happened. He just came. We just did it. It's an interesting thing about time. When God gets involved in it, you can sit down and you can count up the years. But when God gets involved in it, kaboom, it's over. And you're like, I don't know how in the world I got here this fast. Let God get involved in it. And he will if you open your mouth and say what he says, recount it and declare it, give it back to him. Amen. The devil comes around trying to worry you. Said, look, devil, you look kind of lean. You look kind of lean, kind of poor. You looking like you ain't had nothing to eat in a while. Looking lean, brother. I'm going to give you a word sandwich. Amen. If you hang around a little while at dinner time, I'm going to lay out a filet mignon word on you. Then I'm going to bring some filet. You know, something that's just going to make that filet mignon just right. I'm going to bring you some word dessert. I'm going to lay out a full course meal. You just hang around, devil. Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. I'm going to help you. I'm going to feed you something. You're looking lean. Instead of talking to him and agreeing with him when he starts trying to make you afraid and all this stuff's going to happen. Get a good look at him. He's a poor devil. I'm prosperous. He poor. He got poor folks working for him too. Sure does. Everybody that's complaining about me and pointing their fingers at me and judging me are poor. Poor folks. They need to get their mouth off of me and start blessing the Lord with their soul so that they can have what I have and more than I have. And more than what you've got. And be blessed like you're blessed. See, that kind of stuff don't do anything but bring you to poverty, judging people and putting them down. Especially when you're talking about God's servants, you're getting ready to bring yourself under a curse. You know what? I'm the one that can pray for you and get you healed, and you don't want nothing to do with me. I'm your answer. You better wake up. That's the way it works. Those folk came out there against Job and put him down and called him everything but a son of God. And in the end, and they came under curse, didn't they? They got sick. Every one of them got sick. And God said, Job, go pray for him, forgive him, and I'll heal him. So he had to get over what they said to him and did to him and pray for him. And God healed them, unbelieving devils. Oh, my Lord. I guarantee you those men converted and came to God and became real good friends of Job and worshiped with him and everything after that. Because what greater witness could you get than what he went through? Huh? Yeah, I have to believe that. One of these days we'll get to see them, talk to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's see. So in verse 17 it says this. Deal bountifully with your servant. You want God to just deal with you a little bit, or you want him to just lay it on you?
Lay it on.
See, some people don't want to get too close to God, so they got to go to churches where there's not much God in there. And they don't want to get too close to God. You know, God's going to require me to do this or that or go here and there, and I don't want to do all that. So, you know, they try to find somebody that's like them. So they get them a preacher that smokes and drinks and cusses. And they're out there making good money too, boy. Got a big church, lots of people. Amen. So you can chew your tobacco, dip your snuff, smoke your cigarettes, and cuss, and still go to church and be in good standing. Got your name on the roll, but not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. It's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'd rather be in the Lamb's Book of Life than to be on the church roll.
Amen.
Can I tell you something about the Lamb's Book of Life? Yeah, when these little things come to me, I like to share them as I go. Do you know in the Bible, you know, in religion, we just add stuff. We can add stuff like nobody's business. And in the church, we'll use stuff in services like, wouldn't you like to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Come on to these altars and give your heart to Jesus. And then we expect people to come, you know, and then we tell them, now your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's not in the Bible. The Bible talks about you're blessed if your name isn't erased from the Lamb's Book of Life. So you're in church this morning because your name was already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You came to agree with God's purpose for your life. Your name was already there. Hallelujah. Now, what you want to make sure is that nobody erases it. Hallelujah. That's what I'm working on, brother. I'm going after all this stuff that I can get. Because I want them to write it with one of them big felt pens. You know what I'm talking about? Don't be writing with no fine point ink pen. I want one of them big magic, black magic markers. Edward Ford Grant Jr. in the Lamb's Book of Life. Man, I don't care if it takes up a whole page. They can write you on another page. I want it in there so dark and so black, it takes you several thousand years to erase that thing.
I want to go to heaven. I don't know about you, but I really do. I really want that to be my destination. I really do. I love God, and I love Jesus. I love his people, and I want to be with them throughout all of eternity. All of eternity. I want to be up there with patience, and I want to be dancing as good as she can dance. I want to be doing steps just like she does. And I want her to say, Pastor Ford, you're doing good. And I'm just going to be twirling around and jumping up in there and carrying on. I'm going to say, let's just go up to that cloud over there and see if we can do a few steps up there. Hallelujah. Everything I've ever wanted to do, I'm going to be able to do in heaven. I'm going to fly like Superman. Glory to God. I'm going to jump from mansion to mansion like Spider-Man. Hallelujah. I know you might not want to do that, but I'm just a boy at heart. I want to do everything that my superheroes ever did. Amen. Be like the Incredible Hulk and pick up something. Amen. I better move on. Oh, yeah. Deal bountifully with your servant. Give me a cape, Lord, so I can fly. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live. When are you going to live? He ain't not talking about when you get to heaven. He's not talking about when you die and go to get your reward. Deal bountiful for me now, Lord. Right now, I want to live. I want to have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. And I will observe your word, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying it. Might as well get used to it. If you're going to do it here, you're going to do it there. That's right. You're going to always have to walk in obedience to God throughout all of eternity. If you just ever decide you want to change your mind, they're going to start talking to you like, you know what? Somebody did that a long time ago. His name was Lucifer. I don't think I'd do that if I was you. You know, they got some more space down there. They got some other rooms down there that people like you can go to. I don't think I would think like that and do those kind of things. Bad boy, bad boy. Amen. Look at verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. You see, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes the word of God to come to an illumination in your spirit where you can really understand what it's saying. See, you can preach on John 3:16 until Jesus comes and not exhaust all of the revelation that's in it. Because it's alive. The word of God is alive. That's what the anointing means. It means life. Abundance of life. Life in God. It's the essence of God. Life is really just God's essence. The awe and the wonder of God. You know, it's that life. See? And that's what the word of God is. The word of God is just that on earth. But it has to be mind. It has to be dug out. It has to be desired. It must be appreciated. It must be loved by us. And then it freely comes and it just brings illumination and revelation. Why would God reveal himself to somebody that just hates his guts, don't want nothing to do with him? Right? He said, to the contrary, I'll be contrary. If you think I'm that way, then watch out. Right? Okay. That's why he said, let the wicked be wicked still. If you don't want to change, just go ahead and be wicked. Well, let the righteous be righteous still. Amen? Be still and know. In other words, be still, have intimacy with God. Right? That's what be still and know that he's God is all about. Right? See? You can't have a family by just calling yourself a husband, and then every time you have an opportunity to have intimacy with your wife so that you can have kids, you got something else to do, somewhere else to go. You ain't gonna never have no family like that. Right? No, she'll have to lasso you, tie you down to the bed. You're gonna have some children, boy. Right? That's right, about all they get. Because you're too busy. You got too many places to go. You got too much stuff to do. Well, you can't. Well, see, the Bible says you bear fruit. Didn't the Bible say that we're to bear fruit as children of God? That's like having kids. You're bearing fruit. And you cannot bear fruit if you don't have intimacy with God. You're not going to bear fruit. If you don't be still and let your relationship be with God what it ought to be, you will not bear fruit. You won't come into the various, you know, actually the Bible says that the Lord has allowed us to have divine expression. Divine expression. We are to exhibit the divine. To give forth the divine. That comes out of intimacy. You cannot give forth anything that resembles God whatsoever unless you have that kind of intimacy with Him. See? The things that I share with you are not something that I cram in over the weekend before I come to church on Sunday morning. Scrambling, trying to get a word. It comes out of a life of walking with God. I couldn't write down in note form everything that I need to share. Because my messages, my words are all connected to my relationship with God. And out of that relationship, if I'm on a particular subject, everything that He has downloaded into me from the time that I've been born again, the Holy Spirit can just reach down and grab it and bring it out because this is appropriate for now. This is apropos to that particular person's situation. This would be good to encourage that individual. I've taught you this. I've led you this way. You've had that experience. I gave you that revelation. It is stored up in your spirit, and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak what they need to hear when they need to hear it, as you allow the anointing of God to rest on you. He'll use you that way. You can't cram this stuff in no few hours after you get off of work trying to get ready for the next morning. You got to have a life of intimacy with God if you're going to be a spokesman. If not, then He'll have to convince you of stuff, won't He? You won't be able to share just anything because He'll have to convince you of. He'll give you a word to share. And over the weekend, He's working awful hard to get you to believe it so you open your mouth and share it. Otherwise, you'll get up and do something like this. Well, the Lord has given me a word to share with you today, and I know it's hard. I don't even believe it myself, but I must obey God. I hope you can get it, and I hope it'll do you some good. Maybe it will. Maybe it will. I don't know, because I tell you what, I sure can't take it. That's what you be doing. That's what you be doing. You got to have intimacy with the Lord. You got to know Him. And then you can speak with confidence and act like you know what you're doing. Even if you don't know what you're doing right now, act like it anyway, because you will sooner or later. You will eventually, because God's not going to allow you to just stay out there in the dark. You're going to have good, intimate relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I think the Holy Ghost is involved with the clock on this thing, because I tell you, that's the longest 5 minutes I've ever preached right there. So just keep on moving, Holy Ghost, because I'm not through yet. Verse 19. He said, I'm a stranger and a temporary resident on the earth. Why do believers not want to go home to be with the Lord? You're supposed to have the same attitude that David had. I'm a stranger and a temporary resident. And we act like we just want to stay here. Like we don't want to be with the Lord. Like this is heaven. Not yet. Lord have mercy. Tsunamis? No, not yet. Earthquakes, droughts, famines? No, not yet. One day the whole earth is going to give forth the glory of God, but it ain't got there yet. We're just strangers here, temporary residents here on earth. Then he says, when you understand, you know,
little by little, depending upon what the Lord is teaching you. When you, like this particular subject of the conversion of the soul, you can understand why he said this. He said, I'm a stranger and a temporary resident on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. Now, well, how does those two mesh together? I'm a temporary resident and a stranger on this planet. Hide not your commandments from me. They don't even match. Those are two different thoughts. He's talking about being a stranger and a temporary resident, a sojourner in a place. And then he says, hide your commandments not from me. Now, when you read that with a natural mind, it's like, what is he talking about? That's two different things. He's talking about being in one location, and then he's talking about the commandments of God. What's that got to do with anything? It's because here on the planet, you've got to abide by his word to live successfully. And you can't be so attached to the world that you let the word of God go. See, you can't be so attached to this life and what this life can do for you that you just quit regarding what the word of God says. So the temptation is to get your mind on here and now instead of having your heart on God. Being so involved in what's going on now and complaining and grumbling about what's going on now and disregarding what the word of God says. If you really realize that you are a temporary resident, a sojourner here on this planet, then don't make no difference on what you have. It doesn't have you. It doesn't possess you. And you can use it for the glory of God. Because you're in touch with the commandments of God and the word of God, you're meditating in it. And you come to realize what your function is to be while you are here. See, in Deuteronomy 8:18, he says, forget not that it is the Lord thy God that gives you power to get wealth so that he may establish his covenant upon the earth. So you can have everything in this world that it has to offer, be a multi-billionaire, right? And at the same time, forget not the commandments of God. Meditate into the words of God. Keep the ordinances of God in your, and delight in the way of God. And walk in the way of God with all that you possess. And more of the world will know that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ in the world to die for our sins because you're doing that, because you're going to use your wealth to get that message to the world. That's what wealth is all about. It's to get you in a position where you can get the message to the unbelieving world so that the world can be saved. That's what it's about. That's the reason why you should want to be wealthy. It's so you can promote Jesus to the world. You got to buy commercials, pay for television time, put up billboards, put the gospel on the internet and on the radio, pay for satellites, send missionaries. That's why you want to be wealthy. Hallelujah. Come on now. That's what wealth is all about. That's why he wants to give us wealth. Verse 20. My heart is breaking with the longing that it has for your ordinances and judgments at all times. I won't do this. I won't ask you to give me a show of hands that you can say that's me. He's talking about me right there. Because in most cases, we won't do that. But we should do it. In other words, we should call that as being. Right? Since the word of God says that's the way I should be, then I should say that that's the way my heart is. That's not lying. That is doing what God wants you to do so that it is a reality in your life. See, whatever needs to become a reality in my life, if I see I'm lacking in anything, what I need to do is say that I am doing it. I begin to profess that I am doing it. I do delight in the word of God. Yes, my heart is breaking. My heart is breaking with longing that it has for the ordinances of God and the judgments of God. At all times. I mean all the time, brother, my heart
is breaking with the longing for God's ordinances. My heart all the time yearning for more revelation into the things of all the time. My heart is yearning and desiring to know more and more and more about what God has to say to me. See, you begin to say that kind of thing about whatever it is that you need to be going on in your life, and you'll have it because you can have what you say. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that what the Bible says? We'll turn to Mark 11. Let's just go to Mark 11 to close this. Turn to Mark 11, 23 and 24. Let's just look at it. You know, I'll give you the proof text for it. I'm not just saying this. This isn't just some kind of hyper faith way to live and to think and to carry on and just to pump people up. I mean, this is God's attitude for us. This is his mind and his heart for us. In Mark 11, 23, I'll start at verse 22. Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly, constantly. Have faith in God constantly. How long? How much is constantly? That's all the time, isn't it? So I'm not supposed to allow doubt and unbelief, fret, anxiety, and worry to come into my thinking, my conscious thoughts at any time. Now, the reason why Christians still do that is because it's in their language, and it is a false religious way of showing people that we care. Oh, I worry about you. I worry. That's sin. You putting a lot of expression into sin, because the Bible says to worry is sin. So I don't need to say that, you know. You can use other words to show your concern for people. You don't have to use those words that will bring you into agreement with something that God says is sin. And then you can teach them the same thing so that they don't do it. Because what you're going to do, you're perpetuating something in your family that you don't need to do by saying stuff like that. And you got to do it to people that don't even have the revelation, because if you don't say it out of your mouth, they're going to still see you the same way. So you, just because your husband or your daughter or your brother don't see it that way, but they've always heard you say, I worry about you, you've got to come back and say something contrary to that. You've got to say that I'm praying for you. I believe, God, that that's going to change, instead of saying I'm worrying. And when they come back and they try to give you a word that says, what are you talking about? You sounding awful religious. Well, you can call it religious if you want, but it's the word of God, and that's the way I feel about it, and that's the way it is, and I'm not changing. Amen? Verse 23 says, truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Who said that? Who said that? Who said that? See, that's what the devil says every time you make a statement. Who said that? He tries to come against what you're saying. Who said that? He tries to challenge you every time you make a statement of faith. Who said that? Jesus said it. And I said it. He said in verse 24, for this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, you believe it, trust and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. Now that's what he said. So you better change your language. You better say the right kind of things, because you're going to get what you say. And in some cases, you've already proven that it works in the opposite direction. Because you are the product of, you are the fulfillment of something that you said yesterday. You are the product, the fulfillment of that today. The way you thought and the way you talked is what you are today. You are the fulfillment of that today. You don't like that? You want to see that change? You better hurry up and start saying what you want yourself to be today, so that tomorrow you can look back and say, well, I made some progress, glory to God. I'm moving. I'm making progress in Jesus' name. I'm no longer the same. Amen. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Take that sound, man. Oh, he's sweeter. If God get in my last minute of my sermon, he can stretch it for another hour and you won't even know it. He's good. Come on, stand on your feet and give him some praise. He's a wonderful God. He has blessed us. And he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Hallelujah.